Okay, the Library Joint Powers Authority Finance Subcommittee for Thursday, April 19th is called to order. We have a roll call.
Citizen English.
Here.
Councilmember Terrazas.
Here.
Councilmember Story.
Here.
Thank you. And next item is to approve the agenda from April 19th.
I move to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
And for the third item, approving the minutes of March 26th. Any additions or deletions?
And I move to approve.
All those in favor? Second.
I'm pleading ignorance here. The minutes from the last meeting?
Yeah, the previous meeting that we were at. The first one was just the agenda for today.
Okay.
That was in the packet.
Here's a copy of it if you like to look.
I would have, yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Right. CB
second? Second.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thanks. Okay, are there any oral communications? Being none, we'll move on to item number five, the staff reports.
Okay.
Teresa?
So the financial report for the month, and we're at 75% of the year. And once again, things are just coming along. There's nothing out of the ordinary. I asked Mark to if he had any comments about it.
Nothing jumps out at me. And this current year is going to be a nice year for us. Mm-hmm. But it's also, we knew that from the end of the business. We're failed operations.
We're still not getting the E-rate. We got a question from AT&T the other day, which the answer was you already have that information. So we met with the AT&T rep today, and she's going to see what's going on. So we think we may have started getting credits on this month's bill. It's so hard to tell what's going on. But they still owe us a lot of money. So that's why the telecommunications outside is still very high. And I told her how important it was that we get the money before fiscal year end, and she's going to see what she can do. So that's the only one that continues to be out there. But even with that, we're doing okay.
Could I make a question, a suggestion?
Sure.
I hear we're at 75% of the year. But I've got to go through here and try to figure out now what percent are we in terms of receipts, what percent are we in terms of expenditures. It would help to put that core information together in one place. I know it can probably be discerned from these pages of reports, but
it's on this one.
It's on which one? Page.
If you go to the very last on revenue, there's a summary. So revenues are on page 4 of the what I handed out. There's a grand total, so you just check two places, but revenues are at 79%.
Okay.
And I'm sorry, page 5 got out of order when I copied it, but then page 8, I believe, shows you the grand total for expenditures is at 62.46%.
Okay.
And then page 10 actually has the personnel. Page 9 has the grand total for personnel, which is at 71%. Down on the bottom right, it kind of gives you the final.
So we're kind of shopping around for these numbers. Could we put a table together that has these numbers in it? Would that help anybody else?
Well, it does put it all in one category of it's expenses, where you can actually quickly see where we are in terms of finances. I mean, I'm familiar with reports that are structured like that. But, I guess
listen. You listen.
My question is, do you want us to do that right away, or do you want to wait and fold that into whatever the changes we're making in the reporting
mechanism? Let's start doing it when we make the changes.
Okay.
I get lost in this, and I'm trying to figure out, okay, how do I assess the goodness of our situation? And I'm kind of doing 75% versus 62%. Wrong. And what does that mean dollar-wise, and what does the net mean look like?
And one thing, maybe not just to go into this too detail, but if you have sample reports that you're familiar with that you in terms of reporting, I mean, I think of some that I've seen before, that might be helpful just to bring forward.
I don't have any more.
This is good.
This is beautiful.
This is,
This is I want to learn more about this when we get to it. Yeah, this and the detail table. This one has always buffaloed me.
Yep.
Yeah, we don't need to change this next month, but when we do effect a change, I'm just making a request that we find a way to present it in a coherent way.
I set a goal to have it changed by September. Because my writing goal is, you know, maybe sooner than that, but just to give Mark a chance to settle in.
And I don't need much time. I mean, I can envision how it would run important in person, and I hear what you're saying,
yeah.
And I agree with you.
Okay.
From a staff standpoint, I also need to know what can we do that isn't, so we don't have to do everything manually for every month. How can I manipulate the system to get something that's like a almost push button and generate? And we have that flexibility, but we're limited there. So that's an area I haven't spent time yet,
okay.
But we'll get there.
Okay.
I appreciate that. Yeah, and you're right. If you have, either of you have any sample, that certainly helps, best practices that you're comfortable with.
If we don't start the next fiscal year with a new reporting system, is it going to be a major to-do to try to transition to something new in the middle of the year? Or should we try to have it ready to go?
I don't think so. I mean, what I envision is something that has a look-back period where you can see prior year, prior few months going forward. So even if we went in August, that August would show you which July, where it was.
Great. Okay.
And to be honest, in July, this report, the July report, which we don't have, which we don't see until the September meeting.
That's the worst one, yeah.
Makes no sense. Because, I mean, what's right off the top are some of those things that we pay right away, so we're at like, you know, 100% on those, and pretty much everything else is at zero because we, you know, haven't really started spending much. So it's
plus all the accountants are messing up the
numbers. Yeah.
That's
true, too.
We're trying to book everything at year end.
Yes, that's
okay.
So it, you know, the beginning of
so
the year
is lumpy.
Kind of
the expenditures and the income are lumpy and not
literally
spent.
Pretty meaningless
over the year.
For the first couple of months.
Okay. Got it.
Okay. I am now going to turn the next piece over to Mark for a presentation.
Sam?
Oh, questions?
Sam. Yeah, I just had a question about the expenditure report and the regular part time. It's like we are at like 85%.
In personnel?
In the it's under personnel. In the regular part time line, are we going to be continuing at this pace so that we are actually going to be over budget by the end of the fiscal year?
Because we made a lot of staff part time. In January.
Mm-hmm.
So when we budgeted at the beginning of the year, we budgeted the balance of regular and part-time, which really doesn't matter. They're both regular staff, so they really just add together, was budgeted based on the previous model. When we had a lot more people go to part-time, this doesn't get changed.
So it's been offset by the regular full-time?
Yes, and if you know, regular full-time is only at
66%,
and is a much bigger number.
Just on that point, I noticed that when I was reading it, and I'm just curious just for an answer, but in terms of overtime, is such a low number compared to the part-time hours. And I know that, you know, on an hourly rate, there might be some opportunities for overtime to make up for this. Is there a practice in terms of overtime?
We really don't have much overtime,
right.
Because overtime kicks in at 40 after 40 hours. Mm-hmm. And other than our IT staff, they're probably the ones that would incur the most overtime.
Okay.
The staff really doesn't, and then you've got your managers who don't get overtime.
Right.
So it just doesn't really, we just don't have much of it.
Okay.
Not like the fire department.
Are there any other questions? Any visitors have any questions?
No. Thank you. Okay. Turn it over to Mark.
So what you have before you, and I'll speak first to the chart, but there's also a summary, a table that's got a very minimal page 2, and all the assumptions made over on page 2. What this is doing is, I mentioned at the last board meeting, I think I said something about like the river's flowing into our reservoir of all our financial numbers, and we're getting them. So these are pretty good numbers. I give them somewhere like a 90% confidence level. This board is getting stuff a little earlier than the rest of the city departments. But, you know, I understand the importance of trying to get there sooner, so we're putting a lot of emphasis in our department about focus first on library and everything else secondary. I'm shifting gears a little bit more than they're used to, so hopefully everything is accounted for. And I think it has been a lot of double-checking with regards to rolling up with all of our payroll. We've had three different people involved in that process, both from a data standpoint, and then a review, and then my review. So we're feeling pretty comfortable with the personnel information, except for any staffing changes that are changed as part of this budget process.
Mm-hmm.
That certainly rolls back and can change the assumptions that we're building. So I'd say these are pretty good numbers and pretty good estimates. And from a big picture, if I'm looking at this chart, what this does is it just summarizes total net operations, all revenue, all the expenditures, personnel costs, operating costs, and what's the net in each year. And this is the net in each year under the different four different model samples. So the first model is kind of, what if we did nothing and we just carried this year forward, no changes, no remediation, no increased hours. You get kind of that top line up top, which is really hefty net operating gains of $1 million.
Would some financial people call that fund balance?
No, that's your net operations that then rolls into your fund balance, correct? Your fund balance is what's in your checkbook at the end of the year.
Right. Which, are you saying this would be in the
this
checkbook
is just the net profit.
This is incremental
net profit
to them.
Right,
so
this would add into whatever
yes,
else
so
was there.
If we're projecting close to $1 million fund balance at
mm-hmm.
the end of this year,
mm-hmm.
this adds to that.
Okay.
So if we had $1 million surplus next year, then we're at $2 million at the end of the next year. So that's a really healthy place to be and probably really overshooting our target based on the community and the board's needs and the service. And certainly a lot of folks spoke at the last board meeting about the need to improve the staffing situation and service and such. So that first line, it's probably not a realistic line, but that's today's model projected out forward. And then the next three lines are kind of as in order as they're displayed in the little chart on the site. The first line that's represented in the boxes, and I believe that was color red in color ink, that's with remediation. So that's taking current hours plus just this remediation to correct our current, what are projected to be the issues within operations currently. That line is a hefty, it's the wrong terminology, I'm sorry, I'm getting a little too lazy with my wording. It's a nice place to be as far as end-of-the-year operations, between $400,000 and $600,000 net operations. Again, from a financial perspective, I'm the finance guy saying, yes, good job. But on the other side, is that meeting your service levels? And maybe that's not wise to book that much in reserves, to book in reserves that much when we have clear service demands. So then the next line down is, well, what if we just incrementally had everybody at least at 80% of their normal operating hours? Some are already past that, so that's why it's not incrementally that big of a cost. But if you brought everybody up to an 80% minimum level, not too big of a chain between the remediation and 80%. Where you see your jump is going to the 90% level.
Mm-hmm.
And that right now on paper and in our projections looks like it's achievable. What I would certainly, if I were to roll out 16, 17, 17, 18, 18, 19, the trend is going down. It's not trending flat. It's
mm-hmm.
not trending up. It's trending down, but gradually down. And that and a lot of that's driven by the assumptions that we'll talk about.
It seems like the revenue projections are pretty conservative.
Yes, and that's where I'm getting to. So the remediation with 90% looks achievable as we roll out in the next several years, that it's going to will pay for itself, plus some cushion in there for building up reserves or funding one-time programs or one-time capital needs that will come up in the year,
mm-hmm.
certainly. So that's just a high-level summary of where the trends are going over the next year's budget cycle that this committee will recommend to the board, and then the board will recommend for adoption,
mm-hmm.
and then the projections out for the following years.
Mark, in the 13-14, do you
yes.
have the PERS
yes.
increase that's already built into this?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's this chart. So that's just the summary of the detail here. So if there are any questions on this, we can.
Yeah, I do have a question. just looking at remediation, and then the remediation with 80% hours. So you have current plus remediation, and then the line below, remediation with minimum 80% hours. And I guess I was comparing them to these. Can you tell me what the difference is in the cost? Just like what from those two lines?
Yeah, it's about $40,000 a year. So to get from remediation to 80% hours, it's going to cost you $45,000 annually.
Okay.
So it's
more
than achievable.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we go through and look at the summaries, I just was looking at the bottom line with the volunteers, and I was trying to place those two numbers, calculations. So maybe just so I understand.
Yeah.
From this chart here.
So this chart is just picking up the first grade box,
mm-hmm.
the net operating gains before remediation and increased hours. That's that top line, and then those other lines are derivatives of the remediation line, and the option A and option B lines. So it's kind of factoring in. Okay, if remediation costs us $500,000, and we've made $1,000,001 in that first year,
mm-hmm.
so we're going to end net operations with $600,000 in 12-13. So there's another little formula going on that you're not seeing there.
Okay.
So what that's showing is remediation is costing you $500,000, $517,000. Your net operations are $1,117,000. So it's about a $600,000 net gain with just remediation. So that's what it's showing here as a net. But you're not seeing that broken out here as a number.
Okay.
That's a math, an additional layer.
Any questions? Ellen?
Do we have anything that shows 100%?
No.
Well, and I was going to ask about that too, Ellen. But at the last meeting, we did have 100%, but that was showing a significant deficit after almost like
six.
Right. I mean, it looks like we have certain different assumptions because the difference between this 90% and 100% is now they don't reconcile. So maybe we should go back and give the board 100% under this new analysis. So,
I mean, I would just, so the expert is here, you have a subject matter expert here. From my perspective, we saw the change going from remediation to 80%. That's a really small number because doesn't take a lot of effort. Most branches are close to there.
Right.
Getting to 90% becomes a bigger number. Well, at 90%, that's kind of where some of the branches are already at now. So going from 90 to 100, there's nobody really there. I don't think there's anybody really there. So that's the whole operation going up to 100.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a big crooked number.
Right.
I agree with you from an informational standpoint.
Yeah.
It's important to know.
Yeah. Yeah. So your educated guess is that we're going to be driving that 100% curve is going to go negative probably. Huh?
Yeah,
it's a steeper climb.
Yeah,
getting from 90 to 100.
Yeah,
I know.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's going to be. Yeah.
You know, I apologize. The way my brain was working at this, it's like we're three months and a week or so into this current model that we're basing all of our future costs on.
And you're like, so what? 1 month into your employment?
Yeah, literally a month. And that I'm not too worried about because there's a lot of good staff around.
Yeah.
But you know, we're basing all of this on a really small time period in time. There is fear, even if on paper the 100% number is like, well, maybe we can do 95 and we're almost break even. That's a big risk to take because rolling back, you don't ever want to be there. I mean, you don't want to go to 95 and say, oh gosh, we can't get there, we've got to not roll back.
Right.
But I think with what Sam was saying, and I too, it's just information
yes.
that the board ought to have
yeah.
so we can see the
yeah.
whole picture.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I apologize for not thinking that.
No, you know what? I mean, no, at the board,
you asked for
80. Yeah, we just, because we assumed that we had the 100 at that meeting, but it looks like there's going to be a little changes.
The issue that I would raise about is about the remediation numbers. And Teresa and I have talked about this a bit, that the proposed incremental staffing increase to deal with shelving issues is, I believe, 1.2 FTE equivalent. Is that correct? Roughly?
Roughly.
And
that, well, that's to replace the volunteers.
Right.
It's not necessarily solving the shelving issue, but it replaces
the point
the
is, that's the number that's cranked into this remediation
well,
figure, right?
Yeah. He did this one with,
yeah.
with that, yes.
And I'll just say that I don't believe that we have confidence that that 1.2 FTEs is going to necessarily be the right number.
Well, actually, into the remediation is additional, and we'll talk about that when we get to my report.
Okay.
It's not just the volunteers. Remediation, in terms of the shelving issue,
yes.
is not using the volunteers as well as additional library
time. So there's more
yes.
labor in here than just that 1.2 FTEs.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. $500,000.
Mm-hmm. Well, in terms of shelving, in terms of library aides. I mean, there's a lot of staffing in there for other things, but there's more mm-hmm. library aides than just
okay.
the volunteer replacement.
Okay.
So is there somewhere a discussion about what exactly the remediation is?
Yes. My report has that.
So what you're saying is you believe there's a sufficient amount of money in the remediation to cover kind of the service needs that have been expressed.
That we've been identified
branches.
So far.
Yeah.
There's some things that we're trying out in the remediation that, in terms of reducing span of control to reasonable numbers, which are low cost. We're using AmeriCorps, bringing on another AmeriCorps volunteer, doing a team leader concept in the programming and reference staff. Those are things we're trying that are low cost.
Yeah.
I don't think that there's any assurance that anything that we do at this point is going to be the last thing we need to do.
Well, I think that's what Dick was saying last time and what he's, I think you're saying now, with making sure that you have a sufficient amount of money so that to address it. I mean, if they're unknown, I mean, you can't do that. But if this is addressing known issues.
This is addressing known issues. And this whole thing is such an exercise in the unknown, so to speak, that we can try to address it. But will that be the only thing we need to do? I don't know.
Because I was personally interested in the last meeting. I was talking about some of the equipment that's defective. I mean, we were here
and
numerous times. Yeah. So that's what I mean. Just addressing those things that were discussed. Do you have any questions, Sam? On the report.
Well, not on the numbers. I think I'm good with those.
So let me cover the assumptions that are built into all of this. From a revenue standpoint, 3 years ago, I would have said this is conservative. We're in a new normal now. There's a 1% increase in revenue annually. I still think that's probably a little conservative, but I'm hearing from the county that, and it surprised me. A couple things. We met with the county today on projections on property tax, and the assessor's office, although isn't officially saying anything, but saying we hope it's flat. He's not giving us a number. I wasn't expecting to hear we hope it's flat. I was expecting to hear we're thinking about a 1 or 2%. So that threw me off a little bit, thinking that we're still getting through this reality thing. I think a lot of my projections going into this 12-13 year, even where I was before, were we will be flat, and maybe there's a possibility for a 0.5%. So to hear the assessor think, I hope it's going to be flat. That was a twist on me. I wasn't ready to hear. And certainly part of our revenue this board gets is a component of property tax that flows into the county. And so to hear that, that's, like I said, I would have said any other time 1% is probably conservative, but that may be on the mark. Now, I think sales tax will make up for that. So even if property tax is flat, I think sales tax will have some growth there, probably a little stronger than 1%. So, 1% may be a little bit conservative, but it's really hard for me to say, yeah, it's 2, because that's a big leap of faith right now, and we're not seeing that in a lot of trends right now, but it is possible.
In our original 5-year projection, didn't we use 2%?
In the outer years, we used 2%, but we started 1%.
Okay. So this is a little bit of, and I'm not saying this is maybe not more prudent to use 1%,
yeah.
but probably just noting that if we're looking, that this is a kind of a step back from our original 5-year
sure.
model, so that people are aware of that.
Yeah. Now, 1% for 15-16, I think that's probably not. Yeah, I'd like to think we're at 2 or 3% by years from now. That's probably more realistic, but like I said, just given how new we are into this model and how are we in recovery or not, I can still read that fuel prices are still uncertain, that Europe is still uncertain. There's just a lot of uncertainty out there, but anything that trips will put us into a problem. Now, will it affect Santa Cruz as much as the rest of the country? Don't know.
Does this also include the CalPERS estimates in
terms
yes. of operating?
So yes, so that's revenue, and then rolling into operations. So if you flip on the backside, there's a breakdown of all the assumptions that go into operations. Basically, I factored in a 2%
yeah.
for salary and general benefits, and then specifically the CalPERS increases. So in the first year, 13-14, the first out year, the CalPERS increase isn't the next cycle. We're building a budget for the next cycle, 12-13 year. It's 2 years away from now. The 13-14 is when CalPERS increases come into play.
13-14?
Yeah. So what they're saying is expect at least a 2% increase for us. They're saying it could be on average of between 1% and 2% for miscellaneous general employees. Santa Cruz, whatever it is, our demographics here, tend to put our rates higher than other jurisdictions. So we'll probably be closer at 2%, and it wouldn't surprise me to see 2.2 or 2.4, maybe 2.5. Because 1 to 2 is the average, so there could be somebody that's a half, and there could be somebody that's 3.
Do you know when our labor agreements turn
next
over?
Year.
Again, next year, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
June 2013.
Yeah, June 2013.
So I've got a 2% that assumes in 2013 that labor is going to be really pushing for some get back. And so, I think it's prudent to factor that in. I wouldn't say that's, we want to start saying that is what we're giving you, but at some point in time, and maybe in the footnotes, I should probably need to clean that up a little bit more so it's not so obvious as I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, I don't think you want that floating around.
Do we have a budget?
Well, we have step increases are.
Yeah.
Or 1%, and we've got a lot more staff who are now eligible for step increases
true.
Than they used to be. So,
that's true.
I mean, that you could say that 2%
based on the current budget.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, getting back to CalPERS, so CalPERS 13-14, even if it's a 2% increase, they're going to smooth that in theory over 2 years. So we'll have 1% the first year, 1% the second year. What that means in the second year is we're paying 1% from the year before plus the 2% it went up. So it's actually that second year it's going to be a 3% increase if you're carrying across the increase. So I've got a 1% in the first year, 3% in the next year, that's picking up the one that's owed, so there's a debt there, and then the out year, 15-16, going back to the 2% base increase. Now healthcare is kind of it's always hard to predict, and it's rare that it's not between 6 and 10. But with federal healthcare reform, the intent is.
It's like you don't have confidence in the Affordable Care Act.
I don't. I know what the intent is, but I'm not confident in the market that will happen.
Market or the.
Or either way, whether it's the Supreme Court
insurance
or
companies
Supreme
aren't
Court.
Going down. There's
a lot more in June. It
seems to me that the private sector is always a step ahead in getting around laws, and. So, I wouldn't be surprised to see
that terminology. I've referred to in many different ways.
I was just saying, I wouldn't be surprised to see, still the future have some pretty big health plan increases. It's hard not to project that until we really know if it passes and then what the outcomes are. So that's really the kind of the assumptions that are built into this model. There is a 2% increase in operations in 13-14, and then goes up 3% and 4% because we can't always control the cost of our vendors and such. And at some point in time, those, whether it's fuel prices or whatever, are going to drive those up. So we do have those there. There's also a little bit of cushion here. I was talking to Teresa about in the book, in the purchase of periodicals in your books. Typically, that's about 7.5% of revenues. I factor that up to 8%, which isn't a huge catastrophic change, but I just wanted to point that out.
We talked about increasing that line item.
Is that the library materials?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where would we cover the cost of improvements that we've talked about possibly making, and we've talked about anything from really small, you know, paint, paper, and carpeting to possibly having to do structural changes to facilities?
Structural changes to facilities isn't factored in. I'll just say that, and
yes.
I'll let you answer.
Smaller types of, we do have, there's that sub-line item, capital and reserve allocation. You'll see the revenue personnel and subtotal operating expenses in bold.
Yep.
And then there's a subtotal capital reserve. So that's got built in, I mean, if I were explaining this to a union when I've been at the table before, I'd really have to spend a lot of time here because that reserve is not your typical, we're going to hide money here. It's, you know, we need to replace that. We need to plan for technology. We need to plan for vehicles, and we need to plan for capital. And those are things that we know costs are going to be there. We just never can predict that. So we've got to start putting money aside for that type of replacement. So those are the reserves that are in there. And it includes, you know, a plug that may be small, order of magnitude 60 to 40,000, an annual unexpected capital need, whether it be painting or certain IT needs or not necessarily structural improvements, but
systems.
Yeah, systems.
HVAC.
Exactly. So that's kind of factored in. Again, not from a earthquake or a roof problem.
Yeah. Are you comfortable with these numbers, Teresa?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what we've been working with. I mean, obviously, the whole facilities issue is going to need a whole other look, but in terms of just basically hanging on there, it's, you know, it's good.
But we want to do more than just hang on. And, I mean, there's a need to, particularly in the IT area, kind of bump things up. Is this going to give?
This includes the $100,000 a year for the IT that
we
talked about in the service model.
Okay.
And we set aside some for web design as well.
It's not specifically in there unless we end up able to use some of the $100,000 in a given year for that. And I addressed. I just had in my document as well.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't put extras in. It includes what the service model called for in terms of the vehicle replacement, the technology reserve, and the technology reserve is one where there may be some extra in there for things like the web. It depends on, we're about to replace with this year's money and some of next year's money. We're going to replace all the staff computers, and the staff computers will replace the public computers. And we're approaching it differently than we have in the past. We're going to get them already. Well, these public computers will come already locked down, and so we don't have to invest the staff time to get them out. But the price of computers is also coming down all the time. So that's one of those, your money goes farther. So there may be... there may be some money in there. The $75,000 we have this year will replace the first round of replacements, and we'll cover that. We may not be able to do it until July, but so I mean, it's, can we use more? Yeah, it's trying to find that balance.
Well, I understood earlier when we had this discussion that there was something around $50,000 that was set aside for web redesign, but that was separate from.
It wasn't 100. Actually set aside.
Oh, I thought we voted on increasing the amount. I don't know, Sam. I think you were there.
We put aside $30,000
for web redesign
for some IT needs to hire some contract help for IT
to take a look at the web.
Well, the website we are our Code for America guy is. One of the city's Code for America people is made us his 20% project to look at our website and recommend changes. And I talk about that in my document.
Yeah.
So we are probably, it looks like we should get an evaluation of our current website at no charge. But then if we want to make changes to it, then we'll need to put some money in.
Or would now
so
be the time.
So
yeah. Yeah, because I think I said this at the last board meeting, but I ran into a school board member and they were talking about how difficult it is sometimes for the classrooms, and they gave me a contact uses a database to access the databases of the city or the library system. So they were, you know, I talked with them a little bit that we're looking at redesigning the website to make it a little bit more intuitive. And then now that you've been reporting at least on people that are accessing the website, it gives us kind of an indication of how many people actually use it. And she said that's all the schools, they can't afford the databases themselves, so they've been directing their students to the library.
So, yeah, you're right, and at this point I don't have, because the original estimate we've been given both for evaluation and actually doing the overhaul was somewhere around 50,000. It wasn't very specific, it was just a ballpark figure to work with. If we're not having the evaluation done, I don't know what's going to be recommended, so it's really hard to know what to recommend for the changing of the website. But if you did want a placeholder in there, yes, that would be additional to what's here.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if this maybe is a topic for the board meeting, but maybe anticipate like some type of placeholder.
It is mentioned in the report that I've written that answers that for that we'll get to next.
Okay.
So, yeah, we'll have an opportunity.
It sounds like we're starting to kind of nibble around the edges of what should go into the budget plan for coming periods. We're talking about, you know, having a project to deal with the website.
Mm-hmm.
There's some other elements of planned activity that are baked into the numbers that have been put together here.
The library closes at 20 minutes at 7 o'clock.
And it seems like we ought to maybe be putting together a shopping list of things that we think ought to be considered, whether we can afford to do them or not. To be considered, but, you know, things. This whole issue of capital improvements is one where we're about to spend money, perhaps to have a capital plan put together. Those folks are going to come back with recommendations on what we ought to do. If we have no money to do any of that, then maybe we shouldn't bother to do the plan because we're not going to be able to execute on it. Or, you know, keep the plan in place, but put some money in there to do something about the outcomes of it.
Go ahead.
I was going to say that I think that having at least a plan and analysis shows maybe what the needs are so that you can plan your budget, you know, moving forward. And, you know, whether it be, you know, campaigns with the friends to identify, you know, a specific project that they could get behind to help fund, or even just, you know, members in the community that are interested in seeing a library, you know.
Seems like a great that's
my opinion.
Think about how we're going to pay for parts of it.
I just think it's a matter, it's like doing an assessment of your, you know, your operations and your facilities.
I think we're not being good custodians of our facilities. We don't do it.
Right, yeah.
But I think there's two parts to it. One is what do we need to do to make sure the roofs don't cave in, and the other one is what should we do to make improvements to the system.
And both those are covered in the plan that I'm working on the RFP as we speak.
Yeah.
I will tell you that what's embedded in here is what the service model said to put in. And I didn't go beyond that. And that if you want to go beyond, and that included $50,000 for your basic capital maintenance each year for, you know, the parking lot replacement at Boulder Creek, and we had to do some bathroom stall replacement here at downtown library, that kind of thing. So there hasn't been any money for the service model called for putting in $40,000 this year and then $50,000 for the next couple of years. That is embedded in here.
Okay.
Additional things that you might want, additional shopping list, certainly, yeah, give me a list.
One-time only cost.
We can do that, but I did not take the liberty of putting that in here because this was based on what you said in the service model. I'll just add one more thing, that the pollster that I talked to for Gene Bregman, who does a lot of the polling for this area and has polled for the library before, and I had a conversation with him, he was very clear that we need a plan before we figure out the best approach to trying to get the money. We need to know what your needs are before you, because you need to know the magnitude of what kind of money you need before you can figure out should we go for a partial tax, should we try for a bond, should we try for just friends fundraising, you know, what's the scale we're looking at.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I know there's some time sensitivity, but before we go to your report, I don't know if you have questions. I feel pleased about the numbers. I mean, I just think it's been a big turnaround in the last year, and I know there was the whole discussion when we had that compromise model about how difficult it was, and the staff, you know, went through a tremendous change. And to see, like, at least some results where we're seeing increases of patrons at the libraries, an increase of hours, and also a stable reserve. Those are things that I think get lost in the discussion when we start having the board talking about the details. But those are the top level, I think, points that I think are really important to come out, because actually it was a very difficult process, I think, when we went through and started to identify these. But I feel like it's coming to a point where things are starting to, you know, to coalesce and become like, okay, kind of a vision for how we can proceed for the future. And that's a really positive sign.
It was interesting. I was looking at the budget narrative from last year, so I can start working on the one for this year. And in it, I predicted 6.2% savings in personnel is what we were going to go try to achieve. And based on the preliminary figures, it would probably save about $450,000 or so this year, this fiscal year in personnel. 6.2%.
Yeah.
And I was
like,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's great. I apologize, I have to go to another meeting, so thanks.
On the spending side, given that this year is looking like it's gonna come out well, are there spending projects that should be done this year? You may have more surplus funds this year than next year, or is time not a?
Well,
is that not a consideration?
Could you hold that while we talk about the report?
Yes.
Because you asked for three things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Before the end of the year, and
good.
I've got them.
Good for you. All right.
I just wanted to maybe ask Mark up on this. If we down at the bottom could show what the cumulative
fund balance
would. So, because the operating gain is on a downward slope, you know, but it should still, I mean, the cumulative fund balance is going to be on a incrementally upward slope.
Yeah.
I do have, like, how far do you go out before this model trends to zero?
Yeah.
So, in other words, how much time do we have to, assuming we went to 90%, but it's a policy question, but I think it would be helpful if we could show what the cumulative fund balance is going to be at the end of each year.
So other than that, is this what you all want to see on May 7th?
I think it's a great, an incredible improvement. It's a great report.
And am I hearing you want me to do 100%?
Yeah, the cumulative.
Yeah, let's look at it. I mean, if it's different than what we've already seen.
It will be,
so,
because when I went with the managers and we started over again and said, let's put it all behind what we said before. We're an extra couple months in here. Let's start from scratch and build. And we made some other different changes
Yes. And I think it would be helpful to lead with that when you start to present this, so people get a sense of, why is this better than what we've seen before? So that sets the stage.
Like what new information?
You don't have to. I think just saying that, there's been a relook. Okay.
And I don't know if 100 is better or not, because I haven't seen it.
I just
know that the reason that these might be better, 100 may still.
Sure. And so, I'm comparing, you're right, I don't know what, I'm comparing though these numbers and what we had seen before at 100%. And so I would have to anticipate, even though it's going to spike maybe significantly, it won't be what we were looking at before.
As deep a deficit.
Right. You know, I think it was almost
probably.
Like 600,000, you know. So.
And, you know, truthfully, if we were to rerun everything again in 6 months, it would be a
different
set of data.
Yeah.
That'll give us 9 months of reliable data. Three.
But it's nice to see even where the 80% that it's going to contribute, you know, close to $400,000 annually to that $1 million of reserve that's over there.
Yeah.
The question on presentation, the chart that we've got, this chart is the net annual gains. The numbers that Sam was just talking about that complement this are what does the fund balance look like at the end of each of these years? Mm-hmm. Does it make sense to present one or the other or both? Because it took a little explaining to understand what this represented. And for the purpose of the rest of the board, would it make more sense to present this, or would it make more sense to present the fund balance at the end of each year, which is just adding these numbers to me.
Well, just having a second one that did the fund balance.
Yeah, I would
recommend that because
that.
I think
I
you tend to lose sight of what's happening each year. I mean, this, mm-hmm. when you just do the
it's important
fund
to see
balance.
The trend of where you're going, and this would show it more cleanly.
Yep.
Without
yeah.
having this artificial number, not artificial.
Yeah, yeah, I see what you're looking at an increment on a large number,
yeah.
as opposed to looking at the base of the number
yeah.
itself.
And even, I wanted not to include this top number because, from presentation standpoint, what happens when you include a number that's way off the mark?
Mm-hmm.
That's skewed.
Skewed.
I warn some people on
skewed
that. I have my own vocabulary. it ends up crunching these numbers down just from a presentation standpoint. If this wasn't here, you'd see bigger spreads,
yeah.
and you'd be able to more identify. Your eyes would grab the trends easier.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, no, that's a good point.
So we'll do a separate chart for
yeah,
the fund
I think
balance numbers.
The other thing we have to
yeah.
remember about fund balance is it's there. It's the fund balance and cash flow reserve. So if there's some sort of roof caves in and we have to, 50,000, we may have to go into the fund balance to get
it,
which means it has to get, would have to then get paid
yeah.
back.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
if you're just showing that, then that, I'm not sure that reflects well enough.
That's fine.
Kind of
I think we agree.
But I think
both.
Having both.
Yeah. Okay. Very good comments.
Good.
Okay, so this report is... once again, a follow-up from the last board meeting, given the areas, the five items that we listed in the motion that needed to be addressed. There's a sixth piece, which I have not seen yet because the survey ended today at noon. We did survey staff and ask what they think is working well, what's not working well, and at the board's request, What are your recommendations that don't involve staffing? Or, staff, because I think that's, Ellen had asked for that. So I haven't seen the results, so that will get added to this report. So the first one was, what's the cost of using the critical shift operational volunteers? Those are the 8 hours per week in the six larger branches. And I...
Library A to the reference desk. Library A to the reference desk.
He didn't have specifically laid out. Yeah, it's almost $40,000. I'm just trying to make sure my numbers. I didn't see Mark's numbers until late today, so some of my numbers may. I'm going to trust his, not mine. So it's close to $40,000, which is what Mark had said. That's the cost, and that became problematic. How many scenarios do you run with and without? And so Mark chose to run it without the volunteers, knowing that. That's, $40,000. So if you want to continue using the volunteers, that's certainly an approach that can be taken.
Okay.
Just
to be clear, though, that this $39,600 is in, you built it in?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Here, all right. So it's not above
right.
the actual numbers.
Right. He built it
okay.
in.
Okay.
Yeah.
All the numbers here are going to be built into this.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
That was, if that's not, if you don't want it done that way, let us know.
Yeah.
No,
that's perfect.
Then I was asked to the details on fixing what's not working well. And so I met with my management staff again on April 11th, and we went through the remediation, the 80%, the 90%, and they don't know it yet, but on Monday they'll be doing 100%. So they identified that the major areas and what I see the solution being. Items not being reshelved in a timely manner. It's one we've talked about quite a bit. An interesting thing that came up that hadn't come up before that we didn't know until we'd been in this a while is that in Felton and Garfield Park, the book return slots block the public entrances. If you've ever used those branches and you put your books through the book return,
they're
going on the floor.
Uh-huh.
And so you can't open the door
while
the books are there. So we find that we actually need some extra library aid time to clear those before we open. And that was not something that anybody had ever, didn't occur to anybody until we found there just wasn't time to get that done because they weren't showing up until the building opened. So we added a little bit of time to both those branches for library aides to clear the doorway. Interesting idea.
At what point does it become more cost effective to get like a book drop?
It'll take a while. Book drops are expensive.
Oh, really? I don't.
Yeah, standing book drops are about $3,000-$4,000, and then you've got to, and then you've got to transport the books. So then, if it rains and you have a way to cover the books,
right, okay.
It really gets complicated. So, in addition to replacing the volunteers, I said additional aid time is needed, and that's determined on a branch-by-branch basis, which we looked at the recent reshelving data and the unique circumstances involving shelving at each branch. I was having a poor Dick got a tutorial in what it takes to do shelving. He's like, isn't it just shelving? Well, it's not. I mean, if the shelves are tight, so a branch that has whose shelves are really tight, and you got to put that one more book on, you may have to backshift an entire range in order to get the book on. So that has an impact. Larger branches, the numbers, you know, you've got more books in a given subject area, so you've got to get the number going farther out to get things in order. So anyway, we kind of took that into account and factored that in. The issue of staff not having enough desk time, we
the library is closing. If you are using the internet, please log off now.
We just tried to treat people equally and added 5 hours a week to each non-person in charge on the on-site services, gave the person in charge 10 hours a week off the desk. And then if the person in charge was already at 40 hours a week, then we gave a library assistant the additional 10 hours so they could cover the desk so the person in charge could be off. So it became this, you know, kind of looked at each situation like that. Incoming phone calls at the downtown branch are not being answered. This was also a fairly recent development that we tried, but it's not working. So we need to do some increase. What we thought we'd do is increase the two library assistants, one who are our lowest level regular staff, and they're only at 30 hours. So we thought we would take them each up 10 hours a week, and that would they could handle a lot of the questions and. We have them on. Obviously, they're not. That's only 20 hours we're adding. But we thought, with some other things we're doing, we could free them up to be the first line of defense on the phones. The second in command issue, I think, we covered in number two. The programming and reference teams are having difficulties covering. We're providing centralized reference service, but we're also providing e-reference. Text to librarian starts May 1st. Instructions coming out soon, and we haven't even started using FaceTime or Skype. They're having a real time covering it all. And so the recommendation is to, we have an information specialist who's 30 hours. We increased her by 10 and a part-time librarian, too, by 10. The value here is that when we go to 80 to 90%, we're not recommending additional increases in that in the reference staff and figuring that this increase that we make on the remediation can help cover. Because once you add hours, you now have more exposure. Like if Garfield Park is open 4 more hours a week, that's 4 more hours they may be calling for reference help. So we thought that doing this at the remediation level could help cover us. Unfortunately, that's one of the places, unfortunately, when you go to 100%, you're going to see a big jump in librarians. We're going to need to add. And so that's why it is going to get expensive. Right now, we're just trying to round out people that are part-time so that we're not adding if new positions if we can help it. We have a programming librarian who's the second person on the bookmobile 1 day a week because we've got 1.5 people for the bookmobile, and which then turns around and impacts the number 1 of 5 above. So we're recommending, once again, increase a part-time person by 9 hours a week. The span of control in program manager programs, information, and partnerships, this is one of our more creative ideas, which we met with HR on today, and they are supportive of it. We want to try having a team leader for each of the teams, where a librarian would be the team leader for a year, and we would give them special project pay, and so it would be about $7,000 a year for both team leaders, so we're not talking a lot of money here. On-site services manager, she has 18 direct reports, but she's willing to tough it out as long as we can do something for the persons in charge.
particularly with the volunteer issue, the large number of volunteers, even if we don't have those operational volunteers, there's still a lot of volunteers that they're managing out in the branches. So the creative solution here is to take on a second AmeriCorps volunteer for $10,000 a year. We can have this, we can have two AmeriCorps volunteers, $10,000 each, and they basically can handle, the new person would handle a lot of the on-site supervision, so the persons in charge at the branches wouldn't have to do it. We go to a centralized supervision model for the volunteers. So the details on what this actually means, and you can tell me if this is, you know, I'm assuming this is how you kind of wanted it presented. Appendix 1 shows the remediation. It shows you the branch, the classification, what the current FTE is, what the revised FTE is, and what the increase in hours is. That's for regular staff. Then the next chart shows library aides and how those are increased, because you asked, you know, beyond, yeah, this is where you see it's beyond. In Aptos, we felt just adding the 8 was enough, but in other places we may have added more than the 8 hours. Actually, no, I think we just added the 8 hours in this one.
Now, on this list, the remediation cost at $599,430. And Mark, your spreadsheet has a remediation cost at $517,077. So are we, I just wondering why that difference.
The library aides?
No, I am,
Mike.
Once again, I'm lost. What
this is, yeah, this doesn't have a page number for reference.
Is it the library aides page, or what is it?
No, it's the remediation.
Yeah, but it's only library aides. That's only the library aides figure. The incremental cost for library aides is $108,000. That's embedded in his $517,000.
Incremental cost is $108,000. Cost. Okay.
Difference it's between just, current and
yeah, because the title says this is the remediation scenario. This says remediation. So
it's
it looked like this was the total.
This page is just library aides, and I can make that clear at the top.
So okay, weekly hours, weekly not using volunteers. Volunteers and without volunteers. This is all the hours for the library aides.
Yeah, number of hours per week, and actually, I'm sorry, using volunteers, not using volunteers, both of those
okay.
embed in them extra time.
So the remediation portion of that cost is the 108,311.
Yes,
okay.
Exactly.
Okay, now I get it.
And I'll make a clearer title on that.
Yes,
that it's,
I think that would help people to follow it, and then at some point showing how each one of these remedial components total up to $517,077.
Roll it back. Maybe just link it to the actual discussion item. If it's item 2, you know, adjustments or fixes, you know, then tie it to the discussion point.
I could add to the bottom of mine what the cost. I mean, we can talk about presentation, yeah. But I didn't have the cost when I wrote this.
No, but I think he's just saying in terms of labeling the appendices. So that they're linked to the actual discussion item, so you know exactly what they're tied to. Is that what you're saying?
No,
yeah, some better. I mean,
we have it's two. It's not just remediation; it's the actual. You're given a breakdown of the costs for the fixes.
The only cost I did was the library aides, because that's the only one I had and was responsible for.
Well, but Appendix 1 is the remediation scenario for staffing.
For staffing.
Fixing. And so he was, I think this is what I was understanding Sam to say, like you remediation is the overall changes that are being implemented. So this is just one subset of that.
So do you perhaps want a separate...
Just the name of the how you title it, that's what I
Well, or am I hearing Sam saying he wants a separate spreadsheet that shows the cost of regular staff for the remediation set... scenario is 400,000, whatever the, you know, 400 and change, and the cost of library aides is 108,000, and those total to 517,077. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
I guess I'm more interested in just the total. Okay.
Then
I don't know if you need to break it.
I can take it off. I can take this off.
You know, I think that may be.
Okay.
And I don't know how you guys feel about it, but I don't know if I'm interested in seeing, you know, what part of this library aids, what part of
yeah.
it. So
okay. I'll take it off. That's easy.
That's what I mean, just showing, you know, what's the total additional staffing hours, including
this report
the
just deals with the hours and
right.
then the.
And but then somehow seeing how that number tied in from the narrative ties into
mm-hmm.
on the spreadsheet.
Yes.
It would help me to put the number of hours increased as 214 hours, is to see what is that 214 being added to, like what percent increase in hours does that look like? To deal
staff
with
hours.
Well, I'm just looking.
I mean, that's staff hours. That's not library
but
hours.
That's status quo. Right?
That's staff. That's how many additional staff hours were added. I figured you
yeah.
wanted to see how many additional FTE was involved in each of these.
But what I don't have is what am I comparing it to?
Isn't that the third current FTE?
Current FTE.
Yeah, if you look, and you could just put
I
a total.
Total
you just
it.
Just yeah total formula
mm-hmm.
in there.
Well,
then that'll give you the total.
That's not all total staff. That's just the total that those staff are working.
Staff.
That's not total staff for the system.
Okay. But
you want total staff for the system?
No, I'm just, if we're adding hours, I'm wondering what we're adding hours to, so I can see, are we adding 5% more hours, 10% more hours, whatever.
Well, you could figure the current FTE, like for Aptos.
Well, that's my question. Do you want it, this current FTE
15.
Is just for the staff that are being changed. There's a lot
yeah.
of other staff involved. So you want to know the total change in FTE? The total increase in staff hours?
We're
for the system?
I'm trying to figure, we're adding FTEs to a base staff.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to figure out, we're making an adjustment to try to deal with problems that we've run into. And I'm trying to get a sense of, well, how big an adjustment is it? I can kind of see what the dollar cost of it is,
but I'm
looking for the hours.
Sure. Are you looking at, like, what is the total FTE compared to this
right.
total
That's what
increase
I'm
that you have? So it's just
yeah.
a ratio of the increase based on that total current
exactly.
hours as a base.
Yeah. I mean, it's just not make sense. If it doesn't make sense, you know, I'll have a side conversation.
That's fine.
About it.
And I think that's...
Yeah, what it means is a percentage increase
okay.
of staff hours
yeah.
to fix the current issues.
Yeah.
And then I thought you were asking about, and then for the 80%, you'd probably want to see that percentage increase, and then 90%.
Yeah, I can do it. I'll do it on all of them.
Right?
Yeah,
I'll do it on all
yeah.
of them.
That's good.
And all of them increased over
yeah.
current, not
okay.
increased
increment.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I can do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if, like, when you go through, that was nice to go through that thorough review of all the staffing, you know, in terms of the other areas, in terms of the, are there questions on the branch hours or?
I realize you're hit
yeah.
you know, hit
yeah.
with a cold tonight.
Oh. And I just noticed that in some of these components, there are dollars attached to them,
mm-hmm.
and in others, they aren't.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you could add the dollars amounts for each one of these components, then people could be able to see, okay, what is number one solution cost, what is number two solution cost, number three solution.
Yeah.
The
roll-up cost for each of those.
Right. And some of them, they're already the costs are there.
But like the cost for the 80 and 90% increases aren't there.
Yeah, I can just decline. I don't want to say no. But as Teresa's, so Teresa's sending us information and it's going into our finance. It's coming in kind of grouped together. So when it comes into our system, it's somewhat in a grouping style.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say no because I've only been here a month, and so don't know for sure. I can't, but my brain is saying, "Ooh, caution."
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure
yeah.
I can achieve that, but I can look at that.
I have another concern that, as this is,
staff is going to be able to look at these charts and go, oh, that's me?
No.
When you start putting dollar amounts to some of these, it's just a, I mean, it's not, I mean, if you guys want it, we'll do our best to do it, but it's going to show, oh, yeah, increasing Joe Smith's hours is going to cost the system $15,000. I mean, staff is going to know who some of these are because they're so individual.
Hmm.
And, you know, I mean, I guess I would also, I would rather just take the dollars out of all of them. And I guess my other concern is, are we going to say we're not going to do that one because it costs too much? And get into that kind of discussion versus what's the value of it? I mean, if it's information you feel you need to have, then certainly we'll do it. But I guess I would wonder, how are you using the information?
Well, I was just coming initially just from the place of consistency.
Consistency. I see that.
Number seven, it says solution, and, you know, it says, and this is $7,000 per year for both team leaders should be adequate. So, I mean, we've specifically specified the dollar amount, and who, and people are going to know. And so, that, and that's...
How about if I just take that one out?
And, oh, and there's some other ones, too, and that's what, okay, I mean, I can, you can take them out, but be prepared, because I, you know, board members are probably going to ask, well, what does that one cost, and what does that one cost? And so, I'm actually fine with it. I'd rather look at it from a global perspective. I'd rather just, here's the remediation efforts, and they aggregately total $517,077. And you're confirming that, mm-hmm. and that number's here, and that number's here. I'm happy. Okay.
Sam, would it be helpful if, let's say, all the numbers were taken out, and that if someone had a specific question for those, the board member does, they could just, it could be asked verbally? And just
I think you could tell them. I wouldn't tell them, well, the numbers were taken out, but you could say, if you want.
That's the only one I think that has.
You know, sensitivity to publishing the numbers. I mean.
Yeah. Okay.
And, you know, if a decision wants to be made on a service perspective that, no, we don't want to do that one, I think that's the approach that we should be taking.
Yeah.
I think there's consensus to
okay. So should I go on? Okay, so the three specific short-term measures, and this was, I think, Dick's request. He wanted three areas that could benefit from immediate attention. And here I did put cost because this is, if you want to do this by the end of this fiscal year, and we're not meeting until May 7th, so you know, if you want it, that's what it's going to be. It was replacing those volunteers using library aides instead of volunteers, as in that, oh, that's not very clear where that came from, sorry. And the cost would be for 7 weeks between May 14th and June 30th, and that's roughly $5,300. I addressed the incoming phone calls. And hiring temporary help to do that, I gave an estimate of what that would cost. Third quick fix would be to try to give some time to some sub-hours so that the LA2s could be off-desk some more between now and the end of the year. And I just added 2 hours a week for each staff member, and that came to 16.3 in sub-time. So for quick areas came to 36.730, so there's your answer to... immediate, you know, are there some things that we could use spend this year? So, does that answer your what you?
It does. The other areas that we've talked about in probably February were getting computers out and getting the backlog of
we're
new materials out.
And
does it make sense to throw more money at either one of those projects in order to get that stuff out to the public?
Probably not, because to be honest, for the processing piece, we have reduced the backlog, and I am going to report on all those things that you asked me to report on. We've reduced the backlog. To get rid of it, we would have to have staff that are trained, that we could hire, that are already trained, that could do it, and we don't. And to train somebody at this point to try to do that. Right now we brought in people who've done the job before that had hours reduced, and so they were able to do it. So I don't know that, I can ask, but I don't think that we probably have the bandwidth to do that, and IT as well.
In terms of sometimes they're outsourcing something to get the computers out, you might be able to do, you know, one-time contract.
I keep trying, but they keep saying, I mean, and we're working on the one. I mean, actually, 4 laptops are going out to Scotts Valley tomorrow.
Yeah.
And we also got 10 Google Chromebooks. You seen the Chromebook? It's really cute. It's a little laptop. And it's basically just goes to the cloud. Mm-hmm. It just goes to the Internet.
Come with the Google Glasses.
And so we're working with that as, and other libraries are doing it. Palo Alto is using that too as a possible just turnkey solution. I mean, you order them, you get them, they're pretty much ready. Some things we have, a few things we have to do. So we just got 10 of those in. So we're making progress. And the problem is there isn't, I'm not saying there aren't people who could do it. It's a matter of finding them and having them understand our system and what we need to have, you know, get locked down and stuff. The IT staff just, we actually did hire, for the network stuff, we did bring somebody on who's been consulting with us. We have him working 20 hours a week. And on a consulting basis, since we lost Dan, our network manager, and when this major network migration conversion. So we have done that. We have contracted.
I wonder if they could prioritize at least that aspect, because I understand there's a bunch of computers that are just sitting there and they haven't been deployed.
My understanding is no. I mean, the network conversion is the number one thing we need to do, because that solves a lot of our other problems. And that staff needs to do this. Different staff members works on the computers.
Okay.
And we are, and that's why we're going to start buying the computers ready, already configured, so we don't have to go through this configuration. So,
so are these short-term fixes in?
Yes.
This number, they're already in here too?
Yes. Okay. They are. They may have different staff involved, but this short-term we're using subs, but they are covered.
Just that total cost of $36,000
is
incorporated.
Yes.
Okay, that's.
So the next thing was to look at the cost to increase hours to 80 and 90%. And so this was a table showing open hours, current, the full, what percentage we're at, what 80% would look like, what that means in terms of change, and then 90%, what it means in terms of change. And quite frankly, I didn't know how detailed you wanted me to get here. So if your eyes glaze over, I certainly understand. But you asked for detail, so you got it. So in Capitola and Life...
I don't know. Do you want anyone have questions on...
Okay.
I don't think... Yeah.
Okay. but if you want, you know, if there's something different you want presented at the May 7th meeting, I need to know in the next couple of days, because I've got next week to get it done. So so this was... You know, so actually, you know, read that, and if you do have some questions, let me know. I was asked for a plan to get to full hours. Actually, it should have been 6 areas. Check my numbers here. Sam, you asked for this plan to get to full hours.
Yes.
And so there's, you know, I just laid out one scenario for how I thought that could be done.
Also, you might add that if we're going to add the additional line item to show what the, maybe there would be an annual review, the impact of, you know, increasing the hours further, you're going to have that additional chart which shows what the impact is to the reserve, mm-hmm. right? And so that at least would be maybe a one measure of, you know, there's, you know, to check in to see whether or not there's been a change either in the revenue or the costs are, so that you can then use that as maybe a trigger to do a review, you know. When it doesn't dip below in reserve, or it leads to maybe a certain amount of surplus annually, we reconsider.
I kind of said that in a general way. If you want me to be specific, I can. Under 5, under D, consider additional hours as part of the next budget cycle based on fiscal sustainability. But if you want me to get more specific, I can.
Well, did we, when we did the compromise model, identify what type of reserve balance, like a percentage? Did we say?
We said the before the task force started, the set goal was $1 million.
The
compromise model got to $795,000.
Okay. And so, but maybe we need to also consider what is a sustainable reserve. Is that, I mean, as a percentage of our budget, that's not a big amount. And so in terms of looking at maybe as we are doing better financially, sustainability under the terms of that compromise, or is it a matter of what I was suggesting is looking at what the revenue is moving forward so that we're have a reasonable, you know, cushion so that if things, you know, we're not flat in our property values and we start to drop, at least we have at least, we're not just, you know, throwing all the cards on the table.
Well, maybe D should be review fund balance, cash reserves, review needs.
You're right on the point. I mean, $1 million, that's maybe 30-day reserve. That's a pretty good number. That's a starting number.
Mm-hmm.
And what you might want is a 30-day reserve plus maybe something equivalent to a 10 or 15-day emergency catastrophic reserve. So if your revenues have a bad year, you can pull from that and then for a one-time purpose. And maybe as the outcome of the capital report, you want to have a, you know, you want to start targeting a reserve for major capital replacement.
So maybe a step D would be to review fund balance / cash reserve options and targets as a step within there, and then finally consider additional hours.
I'm hearing Mark suggest that we that our reserve target isn't aggressive enough.
Yeah, I hear that too, but I think that we had established the $1 million, and that's built in. On modeling, and if there's going to be consideration, to me that's a separate board policy discussion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
About, and it can happen at any time. Do we need more?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
And should we make adjustment to that model? I think it should happen in that context.
So is there? But is that a conversation you want to have before?
I think what I'm hearing, we could just leave this as is,
even
and if the discussion point comes up, we'll
right.
address it at the board meeting.
Right.
Okay.
I think that if I understood the April 2011 plan, it was $1 million reserve within a 5-year period.
I think it was in year three.
Or 3-year period, whatever
within
it was.
Within a 5-year period.
It wasn't immediate. And there could be an opportunity, setting aside the concerns that Mark just raised, that we're way over that number already. So does it make any sense to use some of the assets that we have for something that needs to be done and then build ourselves back up to the number that we want to have by the designated time period?
Well,
and that's another strategy.
That's another policy
question.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if it's a policy question or not. It's staying within the envelope that we've established.
Exactly.
I mean, I think it's staying inside the envelope.
I will say that envelope was created because we didn't think we could do it any sooner and still survive. So, I mean, certainly the board can have the discussion, but I don't think there was any, I don't think anyone had any hope that we would be where we are now.
Yeah, so maybe this is not the right time to bring this one up for discussion, but it seems like this kind of idea ought to maybe start with this group and then be proposed to the full board as opposed to...
Well, before we close, that's one topic I'd like to discuss when we talk about future meeting dates.
Okay.
So,
yeah, and I think we should come back to that. And to me, it's after we've gone through this exercise, establish the remediation, establish whether we're going to be at 89%, 100%, or... And then once we have made those decisions, and it's kind of along the lines that Teresa has mentioned here, and then we would consider any additional hours above that. And as a part of that, we should talk about, is our reserve maybe too modest? Should we increase it? Or should we consider, I think what you're talking about is short-term deficit spending to kind of give the injection of capital into the system.
Right.
And then we would build back up to it, which is another approach.
Yeah.
And I think we could talk about those things.
Here?
After. I think it should start.
Yeah,
those are financial policy directions.
Mm-hmm.
We should probably... I think they would maybe get some blessing from the overall board as a whole that they want us to bother to engage in this work,
mm-hmm.
because I don't think we just want to start it sui sponte and then have them kill it, you know.
Maybe you could raise the idea if you're going to do a report out on the finance committee.
Sure, I'll do that.
At the board meeting.
Yeah, let's exchange an email after so we can kind of discuss framing this. I'm sure there's time commitments, right, for everybody?
Yeah.
So
I wanted to maybe get quick to the 80% scenario, which is And this is, says library aides at 80%, which is like, I'm on the third to the last page.
You've got the regular staff at 80%, then you've got the library aides at 80%, and then you've got 90% regular staff and library aides at 90%.
So I'm
sorry,
at,
I didn't number these.
I'm pages. Looking at library aides at 80%,
mm-hmm.
and it says the incremental cost is $124,847.
Over current.
Over right.
current, not over remediation. And remediation was $108,000.
So part of this, because on this sheet it says 80% is $42,536.
$16,000 of that is library aides, and do the math here, $26,000 is regular staff.
Okay. Well, I'm just kind of confused to why it says the incremental cost is $124,847.
Over current, over not over it, not out of remediation, over where I did them all over.
So some of the cost of the 80% is built into the
yes,
remediation.
Exactly.
I think that's confusing. Okay, and so we should show remediation. That's this cost. Therefore, and then to get to 80%, that's that cost, and that number should match that number.
I think that's what Dick was saying.
Well,
because
I'm going to take this
asked,
out because it was too confusing.
Well, we were asking for a remediation number of hours, or baseline number of hours, remediation, and the delta on that, 80%, you know, baseline delta,
right.
90% delta. So
and,
that,
and Mark did that. That's here.
Right. And I think this is just...
I'm taking it out. I'm taking
yeah,
the numbers
take it out.
Out.
Yeah.
Taking the numbers
yeah.
out.
Right. And
yeah.
make it just clean and
yes.
straightforward.
This is just dealing with hours.
Okay.
And... yeah, we kind of treated each scenario, because the way I needed to give it to payroll in order to get it costed, we kind of needed to treat each scenario as its own so that they could kind of.
I didn't think you did what Dick was asking, though, before. I mean, when you look at it, you're going to use the number of service hours.
I'm going to do the number of service hours.
Yeah, okay, because I thought you said he already did that. I mean, it's the numbers are there, but it's not reported out.
No, it's not the number of service hours, it's the number of staff hours.
Or, I'm sorry, that's what I meant, staff hours.
The full-time equivalent.
Yeah.
The
number
full-time
of FTE is what
much,
the percent
right.
increase is
yeah,
at each level now.
Because I heard you say it was he already did that.
No, Mark did that here in terms of dollars.
Yeah,
the,
dollars,
yeah.
right.
The dollars.
Right, okay.
Okay, so I would suggest, since everybody wants out of here, the other areas needed fixing. That was an area that was of concern to you, David. So if
yeah,
I'm,
I just had one thing on the technology piece.
Yes.
The innovation funding for $25,000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's
not the tech replacement.
Okay.
That's an additional $25,000.
Okay.
So that could be for the website.
Yeah. And then, well, we even talked about that 30s being for the website. But, I mean, I'll bring it up at the meeting in terms of this piece as far as, you know, I don't know if it's a future board meeting, but discussing what the project is.
Yeah. I mean, some of this I just don't, you know, I don't know the scope yet, so it's
yeah.
really hard to price
and then,
it.
And then I just had a question regarding the facilities.
Sure.
So I thought we budgeted $100,000 for a capital for facility master plan.
Yes.
Okay,
that's this year's budget.
This year.
Okay, that's in this year's budget.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're going to need to carry it, but yes, it's this year's budget.
Okay.
Significant, actually, that we need to carry that.
Do we need to talk about that in this at all? You said that...
No, because we're doing it. I mean, I'm going out...
No, it says the funding of the facilities master plan is the first step in identifying...
Right.
That plan was budgeted.
Okay.
It should be borne in mind that PULD assess support for such measure will cost about 20. Do we need that to go?
Maybe not. I was just trying to give you an idea of, you know, future expenses that might be involved as a result
yeah.
of it, but I can take it out.
You had some
questions?
No. You weren't to raise another issue.
Pardon?
You had another issue you were going to raise?
Oh, yeah. We had the last item was, if we're done with these reports, I think this is great. Thank you for the report and also financial reporting. I think it's really, this is what I like. This was one of the best meetings, you know, from the Subfinance Committee going through that to kind of follow up. I thought it was really helpful information. Well, the next, there are two things. One, we have next meeting, determine future meeting dates. And I don't know, it's not on the agenda here, but this is the one other thing we don't need to talk about, but I'd like to put on a future agenda discussing the scope or the purpose of this meeting, just to have some clarity as far as what are the issues we're addressing here.
Okay.
Because I found that, you know,
we'll put that on the next
sometimes, agenda. Or at least it might be in a discussion point for us to narrow down kind of the issues that you were talking about as far as, you know, use of resources, identifying, you know, the opportunities and, you know, what kind of options there are as far as moving forward, so those kind of recommendations can percolate through.
So you want to talk about the scope and
what
responsibilities
is the scope,
of
scope
the finance
and responsibilities,
committee?
Yeah. Okay, that was what I wanted to bring up.
Okay.
Thanks for reminding
I'll
me.
Add that to the May agenda. So these dates look okay for now?
How about if anyone has any concerns with the dates, to email Teresa, but we'll accept them as the next meeting dates?
November became problematic, so I just said,
yeah.
Okay, forget November.
Okay.
Oh, you know what?
I looked at your council meeting, so hopefully I didn't screw that up.
Well, the council meetings are on the 2nd and 4th, and so in May 24th is the 4th.
Is it?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. You know
no.
what? No, it's the 5th.
Yes, it is.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I really tried. I could have screwed up,
but
I tried.
No, it is the 4th. See, it's because there's actually 5 that month.
Oh.
And so the 24th is the 4th Thursday.
Oh.
So if we could just make sure that they're not on the 2nd or 4th Thursday
right.
of each month.
I thought I checked all those. I'm sorry. May we have a real problem because you said you could make the
We can, you know, if there's concern, we'll email in if there's a date, and then we could, you know, like those doodle polls or something, and just come up with an alternative. Because if it doesn't work for you, I'll find one.
Let's just move it to Thursday the 31st. It's really close to the board meeting. I don't know if that may be too late.
We're talking Thursday, August, or
how
Thursday?
About May? How about 17th?
May. You're talking about May.
May 17th.
Yeah, that's
May 17th.
May 17th.
Yeah, that's the May is the only one that's a conflict.
Yeah, I thought I caught them all on May.
And the 17th is fine.
Okay.
I'm just cautioning with the 17th, we may be bringing the monthly report in hand.
Okay.
It's really tight.
I have to check. I have this public safety committee meeting that sometimes conflicts. I mean, on the Mondays, that's when we meet, right?
Well,
other than that,
I can add to this agenda, similar to what John D'Arsoni's recommended we do on the big agenda, and that's that there always be an agenda item that talks about calendar, so that we can discuss calendar.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go ahead and add that.
Sure. Yeah.
To both agendas.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
We're covered.
Is there any other issues? Okay, we need to adjourn.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was a good meeting. Thank you.
That was a good meeting.